So last night, I broke out the wok that David Sears gave me one Christmas, and I made a little Chinese, and it was fantastic.
The pictures looked amazing.
I got to tell you, well, here's the thing that kind of struck me about it, and you know, we talked about pizzas and what kind of toppings we like on pizzas, and I'm a guy, I like everything, and I do love an extravaganza pizza. I love a supreme pizza, you know, give me everything. The more, the better, in my opinion. But sometimes simplicity is better. Jalene, you know her as SHG, does not like mushrooms. She doesn't like broccoli. How I ended up with somebody who doesn't like broccoli and mushrooms, two of my favorite things on the planet, I have no idea. She, at the same time, is going, how is it possible that I ended up with a person that doesn't really care for planting things or riding horses, two of her favorite things on the planet. So, you know, guess what? It's just the way it works out sometimes. But so last night I said, all right, you're not going to get any broccoli. You're not going to get any mushrooms. Here's what we're going to do. Peppers of all different colors, green, yellow, orange, and red. Onion, used a sweet onion from Peru, Peruvian onions. They're the best. And then I used some water chestnuts, sliced water chestnuts, because they had a little crunch. Baby carrots that had been cut up a little bit more. So I basically hacked the baby carrots to death. It was infanticide, really. It was sad. I took baby carrots and I made them even smaller, infinitesimal carrots. And then chicken.
Were
just
they
diced.
Zygote?
They were zygote carrots. I diced up some chicken breast, and I used it. I soaked it in some teriyaki, and threw on a little bit of ginger, just dust, you know, ginger, ground ginger on that, and let it sit for a while. And you know, when you gave me that wok, David, I'd never seen a wok like that before. I'm used to the hammered steel, the Chinese wok, the thing that everybody knows. And so I was like, well, this is a cool thing to have in the arsenal. I still intend to get one of these other hammered steel woks. Now I see no purpose in it. This is the most versatile wok I've ever owned. It's so easy to use. It does a lot of it. The only difference between this and the hammered steel is that the hammered steel has sides that are a little bit, the slope on them is not so steep. So you can kind of shove stuff off to the side and have it sit there while you're cooking other things in the bottom. In this case, when something is done being cooked, you have to take it out, you know, like the chicken. I had to, all right, the chicken's done. Chicken's got to come out. Now we'll put in the carrots, and then we'll pile the onions and the peppers and that sort of stuff on top of it.
Well, I was trying to get you on because I remember you telling me the story about how the hammered wok you had got rusted out because a guy left it in the kitchen.
Yeah, my roommate. Nice guy.
I went to the Chinese grocery store, and I was like, what is your most durable wok? And they said, this is it. So I was like, all right, I'm sold.
And it was a good purchase, man. I use that thing all the time. It's one of my favorite kitchen tools. So I also, by the way, I use this spicy stir-fry sauce. And I don't even remember the name of it now. I'll tell you what happened was at the Winn-Dixie that I used to live near, I would pick this stuff up. It was right there in the infinitesimal Chinese food section. You know, there's almost no real Oriental food there at all. You had soy sauce and teriyaki sauce, maybe some sweet and sour sauce.
Some yum-yum sauce.
Yum-yum sauce, the water chestnuts that were either diced or plain, and then, you know, this sauce. And it came in little pods. And I tried it once just on a whim. It was like a buck, and I was like, I'll give that a shot. Oh, I liked it so much. I was like, oh, this is now my favorite stir-fry sauce. I show up there one day, and it's all sitting in a cart at the front of the store. And it's clearance, 25 cents a piece. I bought it all. I bought every last pod in that thing. I said, what I should do is just make this cart my cart. But there were other things in the cart that I didn't want. So I had to pick up all the stuff and put it in my cart. And I paid 25 cents a pod. And I'm on my, I think the last one is in my pantry right now. That's how much I've used that much. It's
you got to
let
me know
one.
The sauce because I'll keep an eye out for you. Because I have Winn-Dixie and Jasper and... We got a bunch of little places in Cordova, so if you
I can probably
know,
find it online too. You know, I mean,
I like to help you, Richard. Help me to help you.
I appreciate that. You're very kind. Help me, help you, help me, help you. So by not having broccoli and not having mushrooms and not having a bunch of other stuff in there, it came out with a very pure sort of crunchy, delicious ginger teriyaki chicken that worked really, really well. And I hope it works really well on the reheat because it's dinner again tonight. SHG not here anymore. She had to go home and do her own job, you know. So then I go in to the bedroom, turn on the TV, looking for a movie to watch. It's like 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I think I got 2 hours in me. And one of the things that pops up on my feed on Netflix is Miracle. And I thought, I could watch that again. And then I thought, I've been on a John Wayne kick lately. Watched The Shootist the other day. I'm halfway through The Quiet Man, and I wasn't going to start the second half of that with SHG here, so instead I said, have you ever seen Big Jake? No, haven't seen Big Jake. Okay, so we watched that instead. And then later, as I'm going to bed and checking my phone for the last time, I see that yesterday was the 41st anniversary of The Miracle on Ice. And I thought, well, there was a missed opportunity. Probably should have watched the movie when I had the opportunity, huh? If you weren't around on February the 22nd of 1980, you can't quite overstate what a huge deal it was for a group of college students, because that's what our team was, a college student. We didn't allow pro athletes to play in the Olympics, whereas all the Soviet Union had was pro athletes. Oh, they pretended to be other things, you know? They pretended that they were diesel fitters and miners and things like that and amateur. But the fact is, they played hockey for the Soviet Union. They got paid by the Soviet Union for playing hockey. It was the way they used to game the system. So these were professional hockey players. Not just professional hockey players, but less than 2 weeks earlier, the USSR had beaten this very same team at the Madison Square Garden in an exhibition game, 10-3. And the year before, the same Soviet team beat the NHL All-Stars 6-0. So the odds of this U.S. team, led by the Minnesota coach, coming out victorious was very slender. The fact that they had won all the way up to that point, they pretty much everyone was like, yeah, this is going to be the end of the road. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, this isn't the only time that the U.S. had beaten the Russians in hockey. In fact, the Americans won the men's gold hockey medal in 1960, thanks to a surprising semifinal win over the defending champion Soviet Union. But after that, the Soviets dominated, took home the next 4 gold medals, going 27-1-1 and outscoring their opponents 175-44. So that, again, made the 1980 victory a bigger shock. The head coach, Herb Brooks, was the last player cut from the 1960 team. Bill Cleary agreed to join Team USA only if his brother Bob could play as well. They wanted Bill so badly, they said, okay, bring Bob along. Consequently, there wasn't enough room for Herb Brooks, and he ended up getting bounced. Now, he did play in the 64 and the 68 Olympics, and later earned a spot on the Olympics team as head coach after leading the University of Minnesota to 3 national championships in the 1970s. He's played wonderfully, by the way, by Kurt Russell in the movie Miracle, if you haven't seen it. The Russians' head coach was hospitalized the day before the game. Viktor Tikhonov had the flu, and he dealt with the flu throughout the Olympics. He was taken to the hospital on February 21st. His players didn't know about it. He didn't believe in antibiotics.
I don't believe in them. I think they are an American lie.
Yeah, that's right.
Just give me more vodka. I will be fine.
I'll be fine. I want moose and squirrel.
The night before, the starting U.S. goalie, Jim Craig, and one of the Russian players, Sergei Makarov, played Centipede at Lake Placid's Olympic Village Video Arcade against one another. The two communicated with nods and laughs. No idea who won that, by the way. You remember the famous line, the one that the name of the movie is derived from, "Do you believe in miracles?" was, of course, stated by Al Michaels. Al Michaels had called a hockey game once before in his life, got play-by-play assignment for the 1972 gold medal hockey game on NBC because nobody else wanted to do it. In 1980, having done that one broadcast made him an undisputed hockey veteran at ABC, as well as the only one who knew what offside and icing were.
Nice.
A lot of people don't know this. The game was tape delayed in the United States.
I have a funny story about that.
The good thing about it is that it was, you know, 1980, so people didn't really, TiVo didn't exist, DVRs didn't exist.
Internet didn't exist.
Yeah, internet didn't exist. You didn't really have a chance to find out unless somebody did something stupid. What is your funny story? I can't wait to hear this.
My father was working at the ABC affiliate in Tallahassee, and the main anchor for the news was Ted Baxter-ish, very Ted Baxter's. So, you know, you do the cut-ins as they come back from programming. His lead story, I think it was in the second period, the U.S.'s thrilling victory over the Russians in hockey tonight, more at 11. Their phone lines lit up with so many people complaining about it. Because it's in the middle of the game, and he spoils it for everyone.
This same thing happened with NBC when the games were in, was it when they were in China, I want to say? Like middle of the night. I remember I was waking up in the middle of the night and turning on the TV and watching live Olympics, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. But because, you know, when you're an insomniac and you wake up at 2 a.m., getting to watch the women's swim team gold, you know, win a gold is pretty cool. But they had the exact same situation where before they were running the primetime stuff, they came on with a promo for the Today Show. Tomorrow morning, we'll speak with a 17-year-old gold medalist. And then they went directly into the race that she had won the gold in, but we weren't supposed to know that yet. Thanks, Today Show. Good job. Anyway, yeah, they wanted to move, ABC wanted to move the face-off from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're willing to pay the International Ice Hockey Federation $125,000 to make that happen. And the IIHF could not get the Soviet Union to agree because it would move the game from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. Moscow time. Which now, looking back in retrospect, they're like, would have been good idea, yes, to put that at 4 a.m. Bury our shame in the middle of the night. Jamie Farr was the only celebrity in attendance. We're using the term celebrity loosely now.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, it wasn't the gold medal game. People forget that. This was actually a semifinal game. Americans and Soviets advanced to the medal round with Finland and Sweden. Win earned a country 2 points, a tie, 1 point going into the big match. The U.S. had tied Sweden. The USSR beat Finland. After the U.S. shocked the world, the Russians took out their frustrations on Sweden 2 days later, beat them 9-2. So if the U.S. had lost to Finland in their next game, the Soviet Union still would have won the gold. With 4 points to the Americans, 3, but fortunately, the U.S. won out. Okay. That's, I also have a funny story about it. I'll make it quick. I was upstairs watching the small black and white TV. My parents had actually, by 1980, invested in a color TV, a 25-inch color TV. And they were downstairs, and I don't know what they were doing, but I was watching PBS. Victor Borge was on. And my dad loves Victor Borge, thinks he's the funniest human being on the planet. I'm speaking about this in present tense as if either of them were still alive. They aren't. My dad's not. Victor Borge's not. Anyway, so I'm laughing hysterically. I'm upstairs, and Borge's so funny. And I'm just dying. And I said, oh, my dad would love this. And I ran downstairs, and I did something that I would never in a million years have done before or would do again. And that is, while they were watching the TV, I walked over and changed the channel to the PBS station. I said, you got to see this. And they both went nuts. Turn that back! I said, what? The U.S. is about to beat the Soviets in hockey! I was like, oh, back we go. And then I sat down and watched the end of the game, which was about a half a period left to go at that point.